Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet," and we'll stop there. Heavenly Father, once again, we open your word, expecting to receive something from you. Lord, we're grateful that you've spoken to us. We're grateful that you've revealed yourself to us. Lord, minister to the people, and we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. For the last month or so, the Lord has filled my heart with thanksgiving. He's brought me back to how I used to be before I was saved. And He's once again shown me the things that He's done for me. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," etc. But I've once again been shown that God cares for me, that God loves me personally, individually, specifically. I was a pretty good sinner, I suppose, before I got saved. I lived my own life, my own way, and I was completely and utterly miserable. I've said it before, I walked under a cloud of depression for 5, 6, 7 years, however long it was. A pit of despair and depression and hopelessness. And I truly did not know what to do. But one day Jesus came to rescue me. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget when the presence of God came into my heart. But it seems like every time I go to prayer for the last several weeks, that all I can do is thank Him and praise Him. Thank Him for what He did for me in taking me out of the life that I once had, the pit of despair that I once lived in. I thank Him for the presence of the Spirit that He's placed in my heart. I thank Him for the call that He's placed upon me that I might preach the gospel. I thank Him for so many things. For the last 12 years or so, I've done a lot of stuff on the internet. I interact with various people, Christians and non-Christians, on the internet. I prefer IRC. Perhaps you like news groups, or web forums, or chat rooms or something. Maybe you have email lists that you're familiar with. It really doesn't matter how you communicate with people. I prefer IRC. And I will befriend people that talk about technical subjects. You know that I'm a computer guy, I'm a system administrator, what have you. And I will talk to people about Linux, the operating system, maybe the programming language Perl, or something of that nature. And I also hang around Christians on the internet. And it never ceases to amaze me that Christians will gather and they want to talk about the Lord or the work of God or missionary work or the Bible or something. And there always seems to be someone that's not a Christian. They say that they're an atheist. The word atheist means no God. In other words, an atheist says, there is no God. If that was what they believed, fine. But they don't stop there, many of them, and at least the ones that I interact with. They will come into our forums, into our IRC channel or chat room or something, and try to tell us that we're idiots for believing this book. And they've got all of their theories, and they've got evolution, and they've got logic, they say, and science, and they continually try to ridicule us, and to mock us, and to make us out to be buffoons and fools. And that's fine. Jesus said we would endure persecution. We would suffer for the faith. I understand that. But the thing that has struck me lately, they have all these reasons why God could not exist, or the Bible isn't true, all of these scientific or logical arguments that supposedly disprove the Bible. Some of them seem like smart people. Many of them are just out to harass. But regardless, they always try to tell us that we're wrong for believing the book, that we're wrong for thinking that God loves us. But there's something that they just don't get. It's said that the man with an argument is not at the mercy of the man with an experience. They try to tell us that God doesn't exist. They try to tell us that this is just a myth or a fairy tale. But I was delivered from drugs. I was pulled out of the pit of despair. I know what horror is. I know what it feels like to walk around every day thinking, well, what do I do? Maybe I should commit suicide because nothing I've tried helps me. I know what it's like to be separated from God. And I know what it's like to know that your sins are forgiven. They say, well, sin is just a fantasy because God isn't real, etc. But I know what it's like to have what it felt like to be 1,000 pounds removed from my shoulders the moment I became a Christian. The burden of sin, the Bible speaks of, removed from my account. I know what it feels like to go free. The woman at the well, she met a man. She was satisfied by the water of life that Christ gave. She found something in her soul that satisfied. I know what that woman felt like, because I have the same Spirit of God living in my heart. I don't know about you. I don't know if you sat in the pew since you were a little child. I don't know how you became a Christian, but I came in the hard way. And I am so thankful that I am saved. I can tell you how God comforts me. I can tell you how God lovingly corrects me. I can tell you how the depression that I talked about left, and joy came in its place. I know what it's like to be empty, but I can tell you how to be filled, because Christ filled me. And lately I've been shaking my head at those that claim that they know that God could not possibly exist. They simply don't know what they're talking about. They simply have no clue what it is that the Bible talks about and what I personally have received into my own life. And again, I'm so thankful for the things that God did for me. So grateful. And I would hope, you listening to me, that someday you would come to find this pearl of great price that Christ gives, that you would come to find and have for yourself what the woman at the well found. But getting back to our text, the verses I read from Exodus chapter 20. I read commandment number 4 through commandment number 10 of the Ten Commandments. And last time we took a look at a couple of them, and I preached a bit. But if you look at the Ten Commandments, commandment number 1 through 5, he says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, Honor thy father and thy mother. These first 5 commandments address man's relationship with God. We're to honor God. We're to keep God's day holy. We're to reverence and obey our mother and father that God gave us. The last 5 commandments, commandments 6 through 10, the second set of commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, don't lie, what have you, don't covet. These address our relationship with other people. And these commandments that God gave to Moses, and later on were written by the hand and finger of God upon stone tablets. The Ten Commandments describe sin. The Word of God here and there, Old Testament, New Testament, in several places it describes certain sins and lists them out. But all of these sins, and numerous other sins that the Word of God doesn't take the time to address, if you think about any particular sin, you can find it referenced in the Ten Commandments. But it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I've said it again and again and again, and I'll continue to say it, that the Old Testament shows us Christ in type, in shadow, in prophecy, in many different ways, in picture form, etc. In the Old Testament, we see Christ. Everything points to Christ. Abraham looked afar off and saw Christ's day. And the Old Testament, specifically the law, takes its time to show man his need for a Savior. In order to be forgiven of your sins, you must first be convicted of your sins. And the law, as we are studying the Ten Commandments, they define and describe and delineate sin. We know that sin means to break God's commandments, to do wrong, what have you. One of the words that is translated into sin means to miss the mark. Try to do right, but you miss the mark. Try to follow God, but you miss the mark. I'm reminded of the Roman road. You can go mainly in the book of Romans, but in other books, and find verses that will show you that you're a sinner and that you have a need for a Savior. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, etc. But man's problem is that he is a sinner. Man's problem is sin. And mankind has a whole list of different remedies and prescriptions and postscriptions, do's and don'ts, philosophies, therapies, etc. to deal with man's supposed problems. Psychology tries to deal with the things in the mind and the soul. And all of these things miss the point. Man's fundamental problem is that he sinned against God. You can go back into the book of Genesis and read in chapter 3 where man sinned against God and was thrown out of the garden. And the rest of the Bible talks about how God seeks after man to redeem him, to rescue him, to forgive him, to cleanse him, to declare him righteous, to justify him, to sanctify and consecrate him, etc. It took 3 chapters for man to lose everything that God ever gave him, and the rest of the Bible for God to try and give it back. But the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and other laws that God has, is a schoolmaster, Paul said, to bring us to Christ. Now, it's not possible to keep the Ten Commandments and be righteous before God. First off, you can't do it. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You'll fail every time. And Paul said if you offend one or break one, you're guilty of all. So you cannot physically do it. Secondly, if you could keep the law perfectly, it wouldn't matter. You're still a sinner. If you drop an egg on the floor, that's it. It's broken. You're never going to get the egg back in and the shell whole again. So keeping the law is not the answer. But looking to Christ is the answer. We know that Christ lived a perfect life. He kept the law. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, his sacrifice satisfied the wrath of God, satisfied the justice and judgment of God. He was innocent, but he suffered and died. We're the guilty, but we get to go free. Remember the story of Barabbas. Barabbas, guilty. He was obviously a sinner. But he got to go free. But Christ, they said, crucify him. But as I said, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." All of your trying to do right, to be holy, to be religious, to do the things of God, none of these things can bring salvation. In the book of Leviticus, it tells about the sacrifices and the different offerings that a sinner could offer and be forgiven of his sin. But these sacrifices, they were given by God, but they were not capable of actually removing sin. The Jew, when he brought his sacrifice according to the Old Testament, his sins were covered. They were still there, but covered. But the Christian, his sins are washed away. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, one of my favorite verses. But the sacrifices had to be offered every day. And at the great day of atonement, Yom Kippur, the sacrifice had to be given once a year, every year. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But Christ's sacrifice, once on the cross, was sufficient. And anyhow, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. In other words, the Old Testament, there was an old covenant. That's what the word testament means, is covenant. They had the old covenant, but we have a new and better covenant, Paul said. The law was great. It pointed to man's need of a Savior. But the Savior himself is what we should look to and the one that we should follow. Following and keeping the law cannot make you righteous, but following the Savior. Jesus said, come, follow me. If you trust in him and follow him, he'll take you to heaven. And as I said at the beginning of the program, I'm so thankful to God for what he did for me. I'm glad that I can tell you about God. I'm glad that I can come to you and preach and teach the gospel. But I'm glad that Jesus did something for me. I'm very thankful. I wouldn't go back to my old life for nothing. As the old hymn says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've got to make it to heaven somehow. I've got the joy of the Lord, and he strengthens me. My soul, parched, thirsty, hurting, empty, he filled. So thankful, so very thankful for what the Lord did for me personally. And I hope and pray that you listening would hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus can fill you. He can take away the burden. He can heal the hurt. He can fill the void and the emptiness within. Trust in him. Look to him. Depend upon him. Come to him. The last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Remember, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This water, Revelation talks about, flows out of God's throne and the throne of the Lamb. This water, the Holy Spirit, that quenches the thirst of the soul, comes from God and comes from Jesus Christ. One of the last few verses of the Bible says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And I hope and pray that you would do that today and find what I have found. Christ truly is the answer. And he will help you if you trust him.
A stranger to me, he said he knew me. Then he described the state of my life. How could it be? He had no draw water.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.